What's up, guys? This is episode 5 of the Two Dumbass and a Wise Guy show. We titled this episode, 3's a Party, 4's a Crowd. You'll probably figure that one out here shortly. But we've got a packed show full of conference championship recap. We've got the new playoffs. We've got bowl matchups. We've had a ton of coaching changes across the land. We're going to dive into all of that. But first, I want to send a special shout out to our wise guy of the week, Josh Bagwell, the Parlay King. Proud of him. Hit a big one last weekend. And we've actually got Josh. We've got a word from Josh that I'm going to share with you now.
All right, Josh, thanks for that. And congratulations on your Wise Guy of the Week award. We appreciate you filling in for Max last week. And congratulations on your parlay going through again. That's a big feat, and I guess that's why everybody calls you the Parlay King. But we're excited to have Max back this week. Max, how you doing?
It's good to be back. Good to take a week off, kind of soak in my 9-1 record against the spread, and happy to be back.
Well, Josh picked up where you left off against the spread. He went 7-2 and was our king. And Ken and Peyton, me and you went 5-4. So we came out about square.
Well, yeah. If people want to win some money, they need to tune in to us. We got Max going 9-1. Then you can hit the parlay with Josh. How about that? Well,
you know, if you talk about that, I do want to remind you, you went 1-9 last week.
Well, they just got to be smart at who they listen to.
Oh, yeah. Well, if they listen to you, they're combined, let's see, 6-13. So,
I hope they started out with small units.
Well, we have a ton to get into. Let's go over our game recap. And please note that these were in the numerical order of how the teams were last week. So, we're going to start out in the Big Ten. Ohio State 34-21, Wisconsin. Max, why don't you hit on this one with Ohio State? Thought that the back door might have been wide open, but this was a bad beat, so to say.
Yeah, I was gonna say I think it was a good beat for some of us in the room, but bad beat for others. I thought for as bad as Ohio State looked in the first half, you know, as sloppy as they looked on offense and defense, they looked that much better and really impressive in the second half. I think they held Jonathan Taylor to something like 6 or 7 yards rushing in the second half. They completely shut down the run game. And, I mean, we saw the team that everyone knows that they are in the second half. They were very impressive.
Yeah. I didn't get to see hardly any of this game because I was at the ACC championship. Peyton, did you see any of it?
Yeah, I caught a little bit of it. It was, Max summed it up pretty well. It was a little sloppy in the first half, but once Ohio State started clicking in the second half, it was Wisconsin could slow them down. And their offense didn't help them out any either. I mean, they couldn't hardly pick up first downs to keep their defense off the field.
Yeah, I caught some highlights, and I just think I think Ohio State bounced back very well. They struggled to start with, but they proved – I mean, they were the better team, so they were supposed to win. That's what they did. And they really should have scored from the 2-yard line with, like, 2 minutes to go, too, and that would have been really nice. But we're going to move on from that. We're going to head to Atlanta. LSU dismantled Georgia. 37-10 final. This was the icing on the cake to me. Joe Burrow's Heisman season. Like there's no question. The other three guys who got invited, and we'll touch on that in a little bit. They're going to watch.
They came to carry his bags up there.
Yeah. Burrow's the real deal. He's extremely, extremely talented athlete, and he picked apart Georgia's strong defense. In, you know, historic fashion, especially this season. They had gone not giving up 20 points all year, and they give up nearly double that to these guys. Peyton, I'm going to head to my resident SEC guy. I know your second team, the Alabama Crimson Tide, missed out, but what do you think about this game?
Well, Georgia was going to have a tall task in this one, even if they were 100%. But they, Swift obviously wasn't 100%. They didn't have Cager or Pickens in the first half. And I think Fromm played okay. Uga's play calling was fine, but I mean, LSU's just really good. And it was clear Georgia wasn't in they're not really close to even that same tier of teams that LSU's in, which is only about a tier of about three teams. I think LSU, they kind of put to sleep over the last couple of weeks the idea of their defense as a liability to them. They might not be a complete lockdown defense, but they definitely aren't a negative to them.
Max, what'd you take away from the Tigers?
A couple things. I mean, kind of piggybacking off of what Peyton said, I definitely think the defense is much improved, from about a month ago to now. I will say that Jake Fromm definitely helped them out, made the defense look a lot better than they probably played. I mean, he was missing wide open receivers, especially in the first half. But Georgia had a good chance to be up in this game at halftime, but Jake Fromm just couldn't hit anybody, more than 10, 15 yards downfield. But, I mean, other than that, they looked very impressive on offense. I thought the pass protection was great. I mean, Burrow, outside of the couple plays where he had to scramble outside of the pocket, he had, 5, 6, 7 seconds back there. And you just can't give somebody like that much time. So they're gonna be a tough team to deal with in the playoffs for sure.
Yeah, you talk about LSU's pass protection, and the one play that obviously sticks out is Burrow's Heisman moment potentially is one where Georgia actually sent a blitz, A-gap pressure, awesome blitz, good defensive scheme. He just proceeds to juke out the defender, roll right, and hit his man while he's rolling probably 45 yards down the field, picks up a huge gain. Given, like I've already said, I'm a huge Joe Burrow fan. I think he's great. But that was an awesome play. Really good.
Yeah. I've got my concerns about Georgia boys. I don't think they're necessarily knocking on the door of entering the elite in the country like a lot of people seem to make them out to be, at least their fans.
Well, I mean, I'll give them this. They've made three straight SEC title games in their division, won their division three straight years. That's extremely difficult to do, and that's proven over history in either division. It's only happened like four times, I think. And they made a national championship. You want to talk about knocking on the door of being elite. There hadn't been many teams in the past 5 years to make a national championship game.
They're obviously a very good team, but I mean, they're losing. I mean, who are they going to have play quarterback next year? We talk about their offense struggling.
Jake Fromm play quarterback.
Is he not a senior this year?
He is not. He can leave, but he's not going to.
We'll see. We'll see what Smart does down there.
Yeah. Next up, we have the ACC title in Charlotte. I was there. This was a total domination from start to finish. Virginia was never in the game. They did score 7 early, which was kind of unnerving. But then again, you had to stop and think, well, this is Clemson's offense and Clemson's defense. And they aren't playing the 85 Bears. So 62-17, this is incredible. 5 ACC title games in a row. There's a definite drop off in from where these three teams that just won that we just talked about to the rest of college football this year. I mean, there's a significant fall off. Max, I know you've kind of touched on it. It's just for whatever reason this year it's been strange for you to have this this many really, really good teams, and then just the good teams.
Yeah, I don't even think it's I don't even think, you know, those teams behind the top three are, you know, average. I think the teams behind them are very good. And any other year, you know, we'd be talking about them as national championship contenders. I think this is a very special year with three elite teams, all-time elite teams. You know, I think down the road we'll be talking about these three teams as, you know, possibly, you know, some of the best ever. It's a shame that, you know, two of them have to lose.
Yeah.
Quite frankly.
Yeah, that is right. Yeah, which that does suck. I hope it's not Clemson.
I hope so.
Peyton, I know you were probably fixated on whoever the South Carolina women's basketball team was playing, but did you see any of the ACC title game?
Well, I was having me a good time. I wasn't too concerned about this game. We had it on. I was catching in and out, but it was, Clemson's really good. ACC as a whole is extremely bad. So that sums it up as good as anybody can right there.
I hope you know that when this is over, I'm going to go back and clip you saying Clemson's really good and save it forever.
No, well, I'm trying to tell it how it is.
one last thing about this ACC championship game. I had the Parlay King there with me. We had a big time. Shout out, Josh. I know you're listening. Appreciate you hanging out with us, buddy. We had fun. Next game, we're going to go out west. The Pac-12 championship, which was Friday night. Max, your Oregon Ducks decided to fly. And they finally showed out, kicking Utah out of the top four. Final score, Oregon 37, Utah 15. Take it away, big fella.
They pushed them around. I mean, it was pretty much a total domination. The final score was a lot closer than that game really was. Oregon dominated both lines of scrimmages, and they were pretty much better at every position, quite frankly. Kind of left me wondering why we've been so high on Utah this whole year. I mean, they definitely looked like they exposed them.
Well, yeah, and given, you know, it's tough to say, you know, why you've been so high on Utah all year. Well, in that mess, you know, you could say, well, why have you been high on any team all year when they do finally lose? I mean, I understand what you're saying, but let's say Clemson goes 31-0 against Ohio State again. Well, then the narrative won't be, well, why were we so high on them all year? You see what I'm saying?
Sure, but, you know, Ohio State's played enough teams. You know, we know they're good. Utah really hadn't played anyone. They didn't have, you know, really a quality win going into that game.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from, Max, with Utah and their no quality wins. But, you know, and it's kind of – I've had this sentiment about it. Is like, what's the point of having a poll about who's the best and who's the worst if all we're going to sit and do is argue about if it's correct or not? And that's just – that's like saying, well, okay, you know, so-and-so beat number 10 Florida. And you say, oh, well, Florida ain't no good. Well, okay, maybe not, but they're ranked number 10, so that's why. And given Utah hadn't, they don't have any. Do they have any top 25 wins?
To my knowledge, the only top 25 team that they had played was Southern Cal, who they lost to.
Right.
Pretty handily, too.
And Oregon.
And Oregon, yeah.
So. See, and then somebody can turn that around and say, well, we'll do Clemson now. Well, Clemson's proven they deserve to be there, and they beat everybody. Up next was the rematch, another thriller between these two. I was not expecting this Big 12 championship game, Oklahoma 30, Baylor 23. This game went to overtime. Luckily, once it did go to overtime, it was pretty much a lot that Baylor plus 9 was going to get there. Peyton, what's your takeaway from our fourth playoff team?
Man, I really hate Baylor couldn't pull this one off. That's that'd have been crazy. I mean, what was it? Was it like 3 years ago they won just one or two games or something? Maybe 2 years ago, right before Matt Rhule got there?
That's right.
That's crazy. I don't know. I mean, if Charlie Brewer wouldn't have got hurt, they probably win this game. But their backups made some big time throws, but they couldn't drive the ball like they would have with Brewer. Oklahoma's obviously a really good team, but LSU's about got to buy first game of the playoffs, I believe. I don't think they're anywhere near that elite tier.
Max, any thoughts?
Yeah, I was really impressed with their I guess he was the third string, technically. He came in and gave them a spark right away, and I really thought Baylor was going to pull it out there for a while. They got a little bit of a bad break, you know, with about a minute to go in the game with Oklahoma pinning them deep, you know, to their own 1 yard line. And all they could really do was play for overtime at that point. I was hoping that, you know, that punt might go in the end zone and then we could see Baylor try to go down the field, get a last minute field goal to win the game. But yeah, pretty much everything you guys said, it was an awesome, awesome game. The sequel definitely lived up to the original. It was fun to watch.
Yeah, and that concludes our game recap. We're going to touch on our playoff matchups. Obviously, we've got a long time to wait for these. December 28th in the Peach Bowl in this corner, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, is Coach Ed Orgeron and the LSU Tigers. And in this corner, from Norman, Oklahoma, Lincoln Riley and the Oklahoma Sooners. if this was truly a prize fight, I think LSU would be 1-4 favorites.
Yeah.
And these guys are heavy hitters, man. I'll touch on the playoff committee. I think they got it exactly right. I think that with the resumes, the way they are, the way LSU's played in the past couple of weeks, they totally deserve to be number one. And I hope you two share the same sentiment. Peyton, I know you do. This is your SEC guys.
Yeah, well, regardless of them being SEC or not, I mean, they're the way they've looked, I mean, they've passed every eye test you can imagine. And their resume, how many quality wins they have, is just is incredible. It's if Oklahoma has any chance in this game, Hurts is going to have to play the game of his life. He's going to have to. He's been a little turnover happy the last couple weeks at least, and you can't do that against LSU if they want any chance.
Max, do you agree that the 1-4 is in the correct order?
Yeah, without a doubt. I'm actually surprised that the committee had Ohio State number one for as long as they had them. You know, as far as I'm concerned, LSU's been the number one team, you know, pretty much this whole time. I think they're one of the first teams to ever beat four top 10 teams in one season, one regular season. So, I mean, They've deserved it all along. I'm glad that the committee finally got it right. It took them till the very end, but they finally, I think they got it perfect.
And then in our second game, going out west in this corner from Columbus, Ohio, a rookie head coach new to the fight scene, Ryan Day and the Ohio State Buckeyes. And in this corner, the returning heavyweight champ of the world, head coach Dabo Sweeney and the Clemson Tigers. Well, Obviously, we've seen this matchup before. We saw it in the same spot, and it turned out to be a whipping. Now, I don't anticipate this one being a whipping. I think this is going to be a fun, fun game. And ultimately, though, I think Clemson's going to come out on top.
Yeah, this is going to be an all-timer. I mean, you got both these teams just look – I mean, they're both incredible. I mean, they both got the recipe. They've got both got star quarterbacks and, really good defenses. I mean, up and down both sides. It's just going to be a fun one to watch.
Max, thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, as far as Vegas is concerned, this is the national championship. Both of these teams would be about a 3.5 to 5 point favorite over LSU, or at least that's what they would open up as. I agree with Peyton. I think it's got all the makings of being an all-timer. I think both teams are going to score. It's going to be pretty fast-paced. I see it being, in that 35-31. 38-35 range. I think both wide receiving cores should be able to have their way with the secondaries. But it'll be fun to watch. I'm excited. Can't come soon enough.
Yeah, that it can. If they played tomorrow, I'd be happy. But I guess I can't.
Well, I mean, I'm sure Clemson would be happy. They're a little more rested than Ohio State has been all year. They're probably ready to play tomorrow.
They're a little more rested. Yeah, that's okay.
They probably ready to play tomorrow.
Your player's been sitting their fat asses on the couch.
Hey, we'll be really rested week one next year.
Rip. Well, anywho, that's going to bring us to our next topic. We've had a complete coaching carousel week. It really started to roll after we had Dante on last week. We kind of touched on Lane Kiffin, and then poof, he was gone. And I texted him before the game, wished him luck and whatnot, and I said last game with Coach Kiff, and he said, "I know, but it's sad. We got to send him out on top."
They sure did.
They won 49-6. Conference USA champs. They're going bowling. They're actually ironically enough, they're going to the Boca Raton Bowl.
Again.
So they're going to stay at home.
Again.
That's unfortunate. I kind of hate it for them. Yeah.
Well, Lane is now an Ole Miss Rebel, which is awesome. I think that this is a fun, exciting hire for Ole Miss and has a chance to get them back to SEC West competitiveness. I'm not gonna say over the top, but that I think they have a chance to be where Texas A&M is now in 5 years. Peyton, what you think?
Well, if you told me in 5 years that that Lane had Ole Miss contending in the West already, I'd believe you. And if you told me that the program completely imploded through sanctions or off the field issues or something like that, I'd believe you too. Mm-hmm. It's an explosive hire either way, for the good or for the bad. It's gonna be fun to watch. That's for sure. Lane and Ole Miss are a perfect match.
Yeah, Max.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really sum it up much better than that. I do think it's interesting, looking at the direction that a lot of these teams are going in the SEC. For so long it was, kind of downhill running teams, and now you look at, we'll touch on Chad Morris obviously in a little bit, but Auburn, trying to reinvent the offense. LSU has already reinvented the offense. Ole Miss making a, definitely an offensive minded hire in Lane Kiffin. It's interesting to see, how a lot of these teams in the SEC are moving more in that direction of getting offensive minded guys. So it's exciting, and I think he'll be a good hire for them. He's about as good as they could have done. Certainly beats the days of Hugh Freeze being there.
I don't know. They had some good times with Hugh Freeze. He knew how to get that money rolling, baby. He knew what he was doing with that.
Next, we head back to the ACC. Another prominent job, Florida State gets head coach Mike Norvell from Memphis. I don't believe this was their first guy they wanted, and I think that's pretty well known. I'm gonna grade the hire right now as like a B minus. I feel like they kind of settled, but given they did get a guy who seems to be pretty good, got a good track record, but I don't think they really got the guy that they wanted. Max, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty evident, like you said, that, you know, they missed out on either one of the Stoops. Whether or not they were going after Bob or not, we don't really know. But they definitely missed out on at least one of them. I was kind of surprised that they didn't take Odell Haggins more seriously, promoting him from the interim tag. I thought that he had those guys playing pretty hard. Maybe if they had had a better performance against Florida during rivalry week, he would have gotten that job. But it's probably as good of a hire as they could do at this point. It's kind of crazy to say, but it's not nearly the job that it was 5-10 years ago. It's still an elite job, but it's lost a little bit of its luster.
Why? Or what? Just curious. Yeah.
I mean, I just think that when you look at recruiting in the Southeast, Florida State's not that first choice for a lot of guys anymore. You're always going to have Florida that you're competing against. You're always going to have Georgia. You're always going to have Miami. Florida State just has not been relevant the last 3-4 years the way that they were, 10 years ago. Even within the conference. I mean, you look at them playing Clemson this year, they were 4-touchdown underdogs. It's tough to, convince somebody that's, 15, 16 years old to go and play for a program that's, winning 5 games a year.
Yeah.
Especially when they don't remember, those teams from the early 2000s.
Yeah. I'm going to have to completely disagree with you, Max. You say, it's tough to recruit in the Southeast, whatever. There's an overflow of talent, and not everybody can go to Clemson. Not everybody can go to Alabama. You got to find those guys that do remember. I mean, you talk about the teams in the early 2000s. Yeah, great, whatever. They won a national championship in 2013. I mean, that ain't that long ago. I remember it vividly.
FSU,
whatever year it was.
FSU's always going to be a household name. And, I mean, it's always going to carry weight. They would have to go on they'd have to struggle for 20 years before they lost that FSU tag.
Yeah, I mean, you want to look at – you mentioned Miami. All right, well, they've got to recruit against Miami. Well, Miami lost to Florida International this year. So, if you want to talk about a job that has lost its luster from the early 2000s, you can throw Miami in there. That's fair because they suck.
And I don't even think
– for a long time.
Yeah, I think Florida State is – Florida State's not, to that level of bad yet, but it's definitely teetering in that direction. I mean, they lost to Boise State.
Boise State's a top 25 team.
Still not a team that Florida State should be losing to at home.
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
Florida
Miami
State
lost to Florida International.
Listen, Florida State definitely has hit a little blip in their radar, but I mean, Florida State's still a really good job. I think anyone should be excited about. And I think it's one of those programs where if you get the right guy in there, I'm sure they still have talent on that team. Norvell could have them back in the college football playoff picture in 2 years. I'm not saying he will, but I'm saying I could see it. I mean, it's that type of job.
There's a lot that needs to happen.
You're probably right, but anyway, it was a solid hire. It was
It was a B minus higher.
Yeah, I mean, it was, well, they did get the hottest group of five name, but it was just anticlimactic compared to the Bob Stoops and Mark Stoops and Urban Meyers that we that were thrown around for a
month. Well, they were never going to get Urban Meyer.
Right, right.
Deion Sanders.
No, get out of here.
That would have been fun. I'd love to see Deion high stepping in Death Valley one more time.
No, he's kind of a gamecock now.
Yeah, right. I saw him tweet about that today.
Did he really? I didn't see that.
You liked it.
Well, maybe I did. Hell, which one was it?
I can't look right now. It was one where he tweeted it about our next coaching hire, Mike Bobo to South Carolina.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I guess you're going to throw it to me on this one, huh?
No, I'm actually going to let Max have it for just a second, then I'm going to take it to you.
Okay, all right. Go ahead, Max.
I don't know if you're being being sarcastic or not. I mean, it's a good hire, sure. I don't really know what else there is to say.
I'll touch on it before Peyton does.
There's so many moving parts around the program right now between Bentley, the coaching staff. I don't really know where to go with this one. So
Ken's trying to Peyton. Ken's trying to really stall me out here. He knows I'm sitting in this chair like I got ants in my pants, just waiting to say something on this one.
Well, I'm gonna say something about it. I think that this is an excellent hire. And Max, you talk about the moving parts with Bentley. I think Bentley was a foregone conclusion when they made this move. He's been gone since probably about week four that he decided that he was going to graduate transfer. But good as it, you talk about as good of a hire as somebody can get. This was as good as South Carolina was going to do. I don't think they were ever in the hunt for Chad Morris. Obviously, he went to Auburn. I mean, that's head and shoulders above South Carolina right now. But Peyton, I am going to make you – I want you to hold for just a little bit longer because I want this to be your real focal point.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. All right. What you got next on the plate?
Next on the plate, Eli Drinkwitz to Missouri. This was a shock to some people, given App State did have a pretty successful season. But this guy had 12 games of head coaching experience. He is essentially Mitchell Trubisky, and we see how that works out right now. But Peyton, since I'm gonna make you wait on the last one, I'll let you have it.
You know, I hadn't thought of the Mitchell Trubisky analogy, but that's a pretty good one for this, Kenneth.
Well, I mean, yeah, it is. It's exactly the same.
I hadn't thought of that. Yeah, I mean, he's this electric name, kind of a little bit with. I mean, he everywhere he's been, he's won. But it's definitely a risk for Missouri, considering he's only been a head coach for a season and. He's actually only been in coaching for 8 years. So it's we'll see. They definitely threw out the safe coach in Barry Odom, which I don't think really needed to be fired, and they tried to hit they're rolling the dice here with Drinkwitz.
Max?
Yeah, I mean they're definitely rolling the dice, but I think they kinda needed to. This is a team that I think we can all agree, you know, very much underachieved this year with the talent that they had around them and the expectations around them starting the season. They needed to do something to spark the fan base. And it's going to go one of two ways. You know, it's either going to be a very successful hire or, you know, they might be searching for another coach in 2 years' time. We'll see.
Nope, Peyton's got something else. He's still got those ants in his pants.
Yeah, I do. Listen here, this is the one I was kind of surprised Mike Leach didn't jump on. That name's been thrown around for everywhere. I'm surprised this wasn't. When he was fired, I thought this had Mike Leach written all over it. Personally.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to leave Washington State anytime soon. I think he kind of likes it there, and the people have embraced him. And it's, I'll be honest, now I say that with the same intentions of, I kind of didn't think Lane was going to leave Florida Atlantic. I kind of thought that he was okay being out of the spotlight and just, you know, winning 9 games and winning Conference USA titles and playing Ohio State once a year and Oklahoma and all
the And living in Boca,
yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's nothing fun to do at the beach in Florida, right?
Yeah, I can't imagine anything fun to do in Boca Raton.
No. Next coaching hire, Peyton, I'll be honest, man. What's Sam Pittman? Yeah. I mean, this was awful. This is so stupid.
What grade did you give Drinkwitz at Missouri? You didn't give us your grade, man.
I didn't give a Lane Kiffin grade either. Lane Kiffin.
No, you didn't.
Lane Kiffin is an A. Okay. Norwell, B minus. Bubba, A minus. Luke. Yeah. What's this fucker's name?
Drinkwitz.
Yeah, Drinkwitz, no, man. No, I'm talking about, okay, yeah, Drinkwitz. I'm going to give it like a C minus.
I kind of agree. I agree on basically all of them. I give Drinkwitz a C plus.
Yeah, how about, what's his Arkansas coach's name?
Sam Pittman, buddy.
F. Loser. They're going to suck for years to come.
I want to criticize this hire, but, I mean, there could not have been many people knocking down the door to get this job.
No.
I know I told y'all this today, but I'll tell our listeners. Their 2020 recruiting class is ranked 118th in the country right now.
That's okay. Like, even at that, like...
It's okay that, for who?
Look, listen. I'm gonna give you from a business person's perspective.
Okay, let's hear
Florida,
business,
man. Bet you Florida International's recruiting class is probably better than that.
Well, maybe so. I don't know.
Hey, Kenneth, old Sam Pittman, he's pretty good with linemen. I think you got the lineman body. You could call him up right now. He might give you a spot on the team next year.
If Sam Pittman happens to call and listen, you talk about him being a good offensive line guy. If he calls me, I'll come play for the Hogs next season. But from a business person's perspective, okay, their recruiting class is so bad this year, right?
Yeah.
That guarantees him at least 4 years of no expectations until he gets his kids in there, right?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but I don't think this hire was quite as, it's not as terrible as some have made it out to be, but it was just, it's just, it is what it is. It's the state of Arkansas football right now.
It's a F is what it is.
Yeah, but what else? I would just like to know the perfect guy for this job would have been an established head coach that can bring some stability to the program, I think.
Why Lane Kiffin?
No, Kiffin, but Kiffin wasn't, that's what I'm saying.
Kiffin was gonna go there until Ole Miss fired their coach.
That's what I'm saying. And I'm sure they called up Bill Clark at UAB, and I'm sure he probably said no. And I'm sure there was, I mean, Sam Pittman could not have been on their top 10 list anywhere close.
I don't think he was on any head coaching radar.
Yeah. So, I mean, he is an Arkansas guy. I mean, he's a good recruiter. He's an Arkansas guy. I mean, who knows? But it's definitely not they didn't win the press conference, that's for sure.
No, I guess
By the way, y'all didn't happen to see that one, did you?
I saw it. It was pretty bad.
Oh, man. You could tell his heart was beating out of his chest, man. That was the first press conference he'd ever done.
Well, I mean, when you go from being an offensive line coach, yeah, I'm sure it is.
Yeah, I mean, at least he's got a heartbeat. That's something the program he's taking over don't have. So,
yeah,
he's got that.
Next, we've got who's driving?
Max.
Well, that's why your service kept coming in and out.
No shit.
Where are you going?
Huh?
Jesus Christ.
Where are you going?
Cookout.
I was hungry, man, you know?
What the fuck?
We're going to keep that in, actually. We're not going to cut that.
That's fine.
That's good. That's good. I heard your blinker.
Where are you actually going?
I went to Wendy's.
Well, this episode is now sponsored by Wendy's, where you can get a 4 for $4, folks.
You're going to cut that.
Come on. I'm not. I'm really not. That's staying.
Okay. All right.
Next hire, Matt Luke, going to Georgia, taking over an offensive line coach job. How embarrassing. Buddy went from being a head coach to an offensive line coach.
So, he was rather fortunate to be the head coach in the first place. But.
Yeah. But, Peyton, this is your big moment, man. I'm going to let you have your stage. Give us your thoughts on Mike Bobo and Bentley heading to the Utes.
Well, first off, I'll start with Bentley. I think it's we knew he was gone ever since really about the Charleston Southern game. I mean, since about week three, he was gone. And, I mean, I wish him the best. I think he might actually do really good out in Utah. I think a change of scenery might help him. But, I mean, it kind of is what it is with that.
Okay. What about the Bobo hire?
Well, about the Bobo, I think it's a like y'all said, y'all pretty much took the words out of my mouth, but it was it's a really good hire. It was it was what Carolina needed. He's an established, highly thought of coordinator, and it's not your big splashy hire that I've seen some in the fan base was wanting. That they wanted to bring in some kind of spread and wide open and run this crazy system, but I don't think that was what we needed. And I think hiring him was a no-brainer. I mean, it's 6 of his 8 seasons at Georgia, he had a top 15 offense in the entire country. And he's renowned as this great quarterback coach, coaching, you know, Matthew Stafford, Aaron Murray, David Green. And, he's obviously got the talent at that position at Carolina with Alinsky and Doty. So, it was just kind of a really good hire. It's a good thing we could keep him away from Georgia. I think that's saying a little something. And, I think it was, like you said, an A-minus. The hire Carolina needed right now.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's going to save Muschamp's neck. I'm not going to go out there and say that now. But it was the best news that we could have heard in the last week, or whatever you want to say, announced today. That was the best thing that could happen.
Yeah, and I'll agree with you on that. And you talk about taking them away from Georgia. I'm not sure he was ever going back to Georgia. The key word there is going back. So that's a strange scenario. Like if he were to return, and I just didn't think that was going to happen.
I don't know we were in that little group text yesterday. It kind of seemed like most people were leaning toward it, you know. But, no, you're right. You're probably right. He probably was just never going back there. But we'll never know. But it was a good hire regardless. It was
sure.
It was – with the situation Muschamp's in, being on the hot seat, and, I mean, historically, Muschamp offenses for some reason have been piss poor, for lack of better words. I mean, we could have ended up with about our 10th choice like Arkansas did and had an inexperienced, kind of threw a dart with a coordinator, and we got a highly thought of experienced guy. And, I mean, that's as good as any Carolina fan could have hoped for, really.
Yeah, you're right. Peyton, after last week's remarks, I want to come on and – defend my head coach for his comments. I do believe that everything that he has said, there's a reason behind it. And motivation is one. And that's fair. And I do think that it is unfair for the national media to say that they haven't disrespected Clemson. Because that's not true. But what was the narrative after the North Carolina game? You tell me, please.
Well, the narrative, Clemson hadn't played anybody. They're struggling a little bit. Stuff like that.
And they continually dropped them in the polls, correct?
They did, but I believe it was hard. There was difficult for anything to boost your resume this year until the end of the year when y'all started beating the piss out of people.
Okay. With that, I want you to tell me the score of the Georgia versus South Carolina game. I know you're excited to tell me that.
2017 chickens.
Okay. And now tell me the score of the Georgia LSU game.
It was 37 to 10.
Okay. Yeah. Now I want you to tell me where Georgia's ranked at the end of the year. Do you know?
I don't know for sure. I would say 7.
They're number 5.
That is true. They are 5.
Now, tell me what kind of crap is that?
It doesn't. What are you getting at?
My ducks got hosed.
Yeah. I mean, what I'm getting at is that I'm not going to use the if Clemson had lost that game because we don't have those quality wins. But the quality wins that Georgia has does not add up to number 5 in the nation after 2 losses. I mean, come on.
So, okay. Well, one of them is to the number 1 team in the country.
Okay.
And
by 4 touchdowns, though.
Yeah. Okay, but listen here. By 4 touchdowns, this is what we've talked about this on the show before. So say, I think you could easily make the case that Oregon deserves to be ranked above Georgia. You can make the case just because they're conference champions. But I'm not sure you can make that case for, you might could argue Baylor, but I don't think you could argue anybody past that. So how far are you going to drop? 1 spot? 2 spots, maybe?
Well, see, this is where
I would have Alabama ahead of them, and Alabama's not even in the top 10.
Yeah, I think Alabama is a better team. I agree with that, but it's hard to rank that based on resume. But you see where the committee opened Pandora's box is when they released the whole, common opponent and head-to-head thing. Where, if you beat so-and-so, then you're automatically, no matter what, going to be ahead of them. Well,
and that's not how it should work.
Right. Really, but it also...
What are you getting at as far as going back to what you were talking about with Clemson?
Well, it's all related. It's all related. We're ranked number 3. We've won 28 straight games. I bet Georgia wishes they had a 1-point win over South Carolina. Don't they?
Well... If you want to talk about y'all winning, the only season that matters is this season, according to the College Football Committee.
Okay.
They aren't looking at the previous.
Well, then we've won 13 games. We've won 13 straight games. Like, what's your point? We didn't lose anywhere along the way.
And so why? And so have LSU and Ohio State, and okay, they definitely have way better wins. Like, I don't understand.
But look at the eye test. You've been talking about the eye test. Look at them when they played Wisconsin. They've struggled several times throughout the year.
Listen here. Ohio State's got big wins that y'all do not have. And that's – I mean, y'all got 1 ranked win over Virginia?
Yeah.
At 24?
23.
23 last right. week. Okay, they were 23. I mean, and I don't want to make it seem like I'm bashing Clemson because I think they deserve all the respect in the world I think they are definitely one of the three best teams in the country. They might be the best.
But they've been disrespected over the season, yes.
I don't really think they have. I mean, you got your loonies out there that – you've got Paul Feinbaum who is going to try to trash Clemson because that gets people to view his show and to click his things on Twitter and stuff like that. But,
Dabo
reaches for straws, man. Dabo reaches for straws, and the whole country thinks it's ridiculous and annoying by this point.
Peyton, name the Heisman candidates.
You've got Jalen Hurts.
Yep.
Burrow.
Okay.
You put me on the spot here.
Justin Fields.
Fields. And Chase
Young.
Okay.
Chase Young.
What do all four of those players have in common?
Well, we can argue about their playoff teams.
Okay. Well, who doesn't have a playoff team represented?
But that's not a –
That's disrespectful. Trevor Lawrence deserves to be there. Travis Etienne deserves to be there, maybe more than Trevor does.
They're not doing this stuff. They are not doing this stuff with the idea of, okay, let's really screw Clemson here.
That don't matter. Like, whether they're not trying to or not. If I were to say, well, dang, y'all suck. Y'all went 4-8. I'm not trying to screw Carolina. I'm not being disrespectful. That's the fact.
If we're trying to tie this back into the Dabo Sweeney conversation,
Dabo said it on Sunday. Y'all make my job easy. What you think Coach Dabo gonna tell Trevor at practice all off season or all of the time until we get to the playoffs?
And as he should. As any coach should.
Okay.
But
well, my point is proven. You just said it. Any coach should say what he's been saying. So
but not the ridiculous stuff to the media. Hey, and by the way, he claimed that they were the first team to go 13-0, start preseason number one. Florida State did it. So before he goes crying, he needs to make sure his facts are okay.
Florida State also had 8 games that season that were settled within one possession.
Well, back then, the ACC was a lot better, too. So.
Okay. Well, Max, I'm going to send it to you. What you got? Any of your favorite bowl matchups you want to talk about before we get to pick them?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think, especially once you get past Christmas, headed into the New Year's Six, pretty much that full week, there's some great ones. I'm really interested to see what happens with the Orange Bowl between Virginia and Florida. I kind of see that being, even though the spread is 2 scores right now, I think it's sitting at 13. I could kind of see that being like the Sugar Bowl last year between Texas and Georgia, where you get a Virginia team that hasn't been to a bowl like that in quite some time. They're going to come out and play very hard. Florida could potentially sleepwalk a little bit through the first half, and it could end up being a really competitive game. I'm also really interested to watch the Michigan-Alabama game.
Yeah, the Citrus Bowl.
Yeah. If for no other reason, then I think that's a very important game for Jim Harbaugh and kind of the direction of their program moving forward. I think we can all agree that, if they were going to fire him or go in a different direction, it would have already happened. But I don't think that the boosters and the fan base are happy with him right now.
I'll give you a trivia question for both y'all, and you've got approximately 10 seconds to answer before I take over, and just whoever knows it first, just shout it out. But can you guys tell me who's sponsoring the Citrus Bowl this year?
I can't.
Max?
Couldn't tell you.
It
Capital
is the,
One?
It is the VRBO
Citrus
Bowl. These games have gotten ridiculous. and Max, I'm just going to take away from your spotlight real quick. I'm just going through some of these other sponsors that are great.
The Cheetos Bowl.
Returning the Cheez-It Bowl. That's a good one.
Hopefully it's not 7-3 like last year, or 7-6, whatever it was.
The Dollar General Bowl. And then obviously we got the Potato Bowl, Idaho Potato. My new personal favorite is the Red Box Bowl. That's wow. But Max, I'm gonna take it back. You got any more games you want to discuss before we get to pick them?
Not really. I mean, you know, we kind of already touched on, you know, the semifinal games. Those are the ones that everybody's wanting to see. The rest of them should be great. I think the Pinstripe Bowl will be exciting, if for no other reason than, you know, it's ACC Big Ten. Granted, it's Wake Forest and Michigan State. But,
I mean, there's
always fun watching them play at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah,
so,
that is neat. I'll give you that.
One that caught my eye.
There's definitely some good ones in there, for sure.
Yeah.
Which one caught your eye, Peyton?
One that's other than the big ones. Indiana, Tennessee. See if Pruitt, I mean, I think winning this bowl game would be big for him. That's maybe that's a little SEC bias. Maybe that's a little bit of following Pruitt in Tennessee a little bit, but. It's that should be a good game. The line's 1.5 right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope Indiana wins. I'd hate to see Tennessee win ever, but it should be a good game.
Well, before we get – we only have 4 games on the Pick'em slate this week, and I want to give anybody out there listening a little foreground as to why we are not picking the Army-Navy game. You see, Max, Peyton, myself, and another gentleman have done kind of a pick'em contest all year, and it has come down to Max, Peyton, and the other gentleman. I, for one, am way out of the running. So this game is actually our last game before we declare a winner. And with that, each participant gets to pick their team anonymously to kind of help protect the integrity of the contest, and so nobody just tries to pick to not lose. So it's kind of like when Kirk Herbstreit's on College Game Day and he's calling the game that night. He can't pick a team to win. So these guys are calling the Army-Navy game. I'm going to give my pick right now. We heard Josh mention that he thinks Army plays Navy close earlier. I'm rolling with the midshipmen. I think Navy is going to beat the tar out of Army. Our 4 pick'em games come from the FCS level. First up, we have James Madison versus Northern Iowa. And these games are just going to be straight up because I don't really know anything about these teams. But I'm rolling with James Madison here. Peyton, what you got?
I'll take Northern Iowa.
Okay. Well, that's a loser. Max, what you got?
I was thinking we were going to get a consensus pick across the board. I think JMU is a pretty big favorite in this one.
Shit.
if I'm not mistaken, they're about a 3-touchdown favorite.
Oh, Jesus. I'm calling up. Nice,
that'll be a nice money line ticket if it comes through for you. Anyway, I'm taking JMU and laying the points.
All right. Second game. We've got Austin Peay versus Montana State. And, again, I have no idea any of these lines. So I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to pick Austin Peay. The only reason I'm picking them is because, like, 2 years ago they played Georgia, and I think they scored 3 points. So, Max, you seem to know a little bit more about the football championship subdivision than we do.
Well, being that none of those players from Austin Peay are that played Georgia are still on the roster
shit.
From 4 years ago. I'm going to have to fade you on this one. So we're 0-2 on consensus picks.
Well, Peyton.
Yeah, I was going to go. Give me them big boys out there in Montana.
Okay. Well, yeah. It's funny. That brings us to our third game, Montana versus Weber State. And Peyton, I'm going to take the words right from you. Give me them big boys out there in Montana.
Ditto. Give them to me, Montana.
Max, what's the line in this one? I know you know.
I honestly don't know this one. I think JMU is like 23.5, if I'm not mistaken. But I could Goodness. Be wrong. I don't know what the Weber State line is. But I'll roll with Weber State.
Okay. Well, we've had three non-consensus picks. The fourth one is going to be consensus. It's Illinois State versus North Dakota State. I'm rocking with the Bison.
Yep. That's the same. Give me the Bison.
Right.
I guess being that we're going straight up, not against the spread, I'll take the Fighting Carson Wentzes as well.
Well, what's the line in this one? I know you know.
That's got to be big.
I think it's like 14.5.
Okay. Well, it's still not as big as Peyton's upset Northern Iowa over James Madison.
Upset of the week, baby. Oh. Northern Iowa.
Well, that's all we have for you tonight, folks. Hope you enjoyed. Thanks for tuning in. Sorry that Max went to Wendy's, but hopefully they'll
been a long couple of days.
Hopefully they send me a gift card for that one. And this is me signing off. Good night, everybody.
All right.